Okay, so this patient has renal failure, and the question is just asking, do you know the direction of the calcium, the phosphate? And then it's like, ooh, wow, 24, 25, dihydroxyD3, slightly weird, okay? So we'll start with the easier part, which is the calcium and phosphate. Now, in renal failure, we're going to have secondary hyperparathyroidism. Okay, so the patient is going to have low calcium and high phosphate. There's two reasons for the low calcium. Now, the first reason is the kidney normally functions to reabsorb calcium distally in the kidney under the action of PTH. So we can make an argument that, well, the kidney's failing and it can't do its normal job of reabsorbing calcium, so calcium's low. And that is an important mechanism if we see calcium down, especially in acute renal pathologies. USMLE likes as the more important mechanism for low calcium and renal failure that over time, vitamin D activation to 125 is going to be decreased. Okay, so normally PTH will upregulate 1-alpha hydroxylase in the proximal convoluted tubule of the kidney, converting inactive 25 into active 125 dihydroxyD3. The active 125 dihydroxyD3 then goes to the small bowel, increases absorption of calcium and phosphate. So if we have less of that ensuing, less 125 being produced, then we're absorbing less calcium in the small bowel and our serum calcium is low. And then in turn, that low calcium is going to result in an increase in PTH secretion. So that's why in chronic renal disease, we're going to have low calcium and we're going to have high PTH. And the phosphate's high, despite the high PTH, the phosphate's high because the kidney simply can't filter it out. Okay, so in chronic renal failure and acute renal failure, we're going to have high phosphate because the kidney simply can't filter it out. And then calcium's low due to a mix of not being able to reabsorb it and also just decreased vitamin D 125. So the small it cannot be absorbed through the small bowel, okay? And PTH goes up because calcium's low. So when we look at these values here and the answer choices quantitatively, normal calcium is 8.4 to 10.2 milliequivalents per liter. So we want to choose values that are less than 8.4 here. So choices A through C are so far so good. Our phosphate we expect to be elevated. Normally it should be 2.5 to 4.5 milliequivalents per liter. So we expect values above 4.5. So looking at the answer choices, only B and C work. Okay. So for both choices B and C, calcium's low, phosphate's high. And then it's like, ooh, wow, the 24, 25, what's that? So inactive 25 hydroxyD3 can be shunted to another inactive form called, it's a storage form called 24, 25 dihydroxyD3. For all intents and purposes, you should think slash conceptualize 24, 25 dihydroxyD3 as the same thing as just regular 25. Okay, so if the kidney is having a problem with the 1-alpha hydroxylation of 25 into 125 under the action of PTH. Despite PTH being high, we know we have vitamin D deficiency in the 125 form. So less of that 25 is being converted over to 125. Therefore, there's more 25 available to be shunted to 24/25. So we know that we have an up arrow for 24/25, which makes choice C correct. Okay, choice C, our calcium is 8.2. That's low. That's what we expect for renal failure. Once again, normal calcium is 8.4 to 10.2 milliequivalents per liter. Our phosphate is elevated here at 5.7, as we said before, 2.5 to 4.5 milliequivalents per liter is the normal range. And then we have an up arrow for 24/25 dihydroxyD3 because that's a storage form, same thing as 25. And because less 25 is being converted to 125, more will be shunted to 24/25. So that's our answer here. The 24/25 D3 always sounds weird when you first see it, but it's on the NBMEs for step one. So this is a variable that I'm attempting to familiarize you guys with through my questions. That's it.